Okay, so we are picking up with the Supernatural series, Supernatural, The Birth of Christ. We're just kind of telling the stories of the people involved, the main characters. Yeah, last week was Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah, and this week is Mary. I had a lot of fun studying this one, getting ready for hearing about Mary. What a cool lady. And yet you might be surprised at how like us she actually is. So let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 1. And we're going to pick up in verse 26. And I'm going to read this. I'm just going to read this. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Well, we may come back here and pick up in a little more in this story in a bit. But what's really interesting, you've got this young girl. Her name is Mary. Most likely, she's somewhere between 13 and 16 years old. A very young teenager. And you're already thinking, "I'm nothing like that." Well, some of you in the room are. But she is not a great woman of influence in her community. She is not this who's who in Nazareth. She's a young girl. And Nazareth itself is not known for its prophetic significance in the Bible. In fact, it's never mentioned in the Old Testament. She's not living in a town with like amazing promises of God spoken over this town. She actually lives in a city, a smaller town, where the Roman garrison for the region of Galilee is stationed. So the oppressors of her people, those that have taken over the land, their army is stationed right in her town. So she lives with this occupied military force in her town all the time. She's grown up with this. What she knows is she's a part of a people that is subjugated, a people that has been occupied, that has been taken over. Their culture has been overrun by an outside military force, an outside cultural tide. The tide of Rome has washed in over Israel, over the land of Judah. And this is how she's grown up. So who knows what her family environment is like, but it's not this, "Oh my gosh, what an amazing woman for God to send an angel to come and speak to her, because she is this who's who, carrying prophetic promise, carrying who knows what." This is not Mary. Mary is average. She's just average. So why is it that God would say, "You are supernaturally favored, Mary. You are favored"? Because that's what the angel says to her. The angel shows up He says, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." And she's obviously, she says she's troubled by this. What do I do with this? What? What are you talking about? So she's not walking around thinking, "I am so amazing in God. God is with me. Everywhere I go, I carry favor." No, the angel says up and says, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And she's bothered by this. And I'm sure she's bothered by more than what the angel is saying. She's just had an angel show up to her. Now, if an angel shows up in my bedroom or in my house, I'm probably going to be a little troubled. Like, what is going on? I've heard people talk about angels showing up. Oh, it was like this little tiny little light that kind of flew around in the room. They make it sound like a fairy. It's like a Tinkerbell angel. It's a Tinkerberry. Gabriel is a mighty angel of God showing up to her. He stands in the presence of God. And then God commissions him to go out and carry messages. And he does this. And when he shows up, through scripture, when angels show up, people are terrified. People are falling on the ground in fear. Because when an angel of God shows up, he's carrying the glory of God. He's carrying the presence of God. Just pausing. So when the angel shows up to Mary, she's not surprisingly a bit afraid. And he has to say to her, "Don't be afraid." But he says to her, "You're favored. Greetings, you're favored." I'm going to give you four reasons that Mary is not favored first. Number one, she is not favored because of her social status. And we've already said this, she's a young teen, most likely from an insignificant, actually disreputable town. Nazareth carries a reputation to the extent that the religious leaders of the day, when they find out that that Jesus comes from the area of Nazareth, they say, "Can anything good come from Nazareth? Can anything good come from this place? This is where Mary is from." There's no popular prophetic words about it. There's no greatness about this social status that Mary carries. Think about that. We were actually joking about that this morning with Spokane. The t-shirts that are out there, the statements that are out there about our city. Spokompton, Spokanistan. Spokane is okay. You know, and it's kind of like, well, why would you go to Spokane? So what do we carry? You think about, I'm from Spokane. Well, it's not Seattle. Well, it's not Portland. It's not this. Told you, we're not that different from Mary. People like to talk about our town. And a lot of it has negative connotations. But do you remember 100 years ago?
No.
No, of course you don't. Do you remember the stories from 100 years ago about our town? About Spokane?
No.
You know that there were 100,000 medically documented healings that took place in Spokane, Washington, 100 years ago. With medical paperwork to prove it.
Wait, you said 100,000?
100,000. Spokane was known as the healthiest city in the United States of America 100 years ago. There's a reason you have names around here like Medical Lake. And some of it got a little bit superstitious and a little bit strange. But what was going on is people were literally being healed. They're drinking the water. And people are being healed. God was moving in really miraculous ways in this place and doing supernatural things. Imagine 100 years ago the medical know-how that we had and didn't have. I think it's totally different 30 years ago when I was little. So what we knew then and what we know now. If you back that up 100 years ago, there was a lot we didn't know. And people died from things that you don't die from today. And right in the middle of that, here's this town. God begins to move. And he begins to heal people. He begins to intervene supernaturally in people's lives. Countless people were saved. You probably could count it, but a lot of people were saved. We know of at least 100,000 people that were healed here. There weren't even that many people in the town. I mean, people were coming. People were coming from around and being healed in this place. When God moved in on Mary in Nazareth and an angel shows up and supernatural activity begins to happen, she was astounded, and yet it was setting up this whole move in her region of the moving of God, the supernatural power of God that is released into the planet and is actually still being released all around our planet today. It's still happening. And guys, it's still happening in Spokane. It's still happening in our nation. It's still happening around the world. God loves to intervene. But it's not because your town is so great, and it's not because your social status is so great. Second knot for Mary, it was not her fearlessness. The angel shows up, she's troubled, and Gabriel has to tell her, don't be afraid. Guys, it's not because you never have doubts about your faith. It's not because you never have doubts of, is God going to do what God said he would do? Or, did I really hear rightly from God? Did God say this? It's not because you never doubt and you never are afraid that God has favor on your life. It's not. It's totally true here with Mary. She was troubled. She was bothered. She was afraid. And yet God says, you're favored. Third thing, it is not her ability and it's not your ability. Mary was incapable of doing what God said was going to happen. He says, you are going to have a son. You're going to conceive. And your son is going to, you can call him Jesus. He's going to be the Savior that everyone's been waiting for. And he's going to sit on the throne of David. His kingdom is never going to end. And she's sitting here going, wait, I'm going to have a son. That's not possible. I'm a virgin. I'm not married. I don't know a man. This isn't possible. It's not your abilities, guys. It's not your competence in God. It's not your strength that qualifies you for God's promises. It's not because you are this amazing Christian that God says, oh, I can bless you now. Oh, I can move supernaturally in your life now because you are so amazing. No, Mary was totally incapable of having children in the state she was in. Totally incapable. And God says, I'm going to do this. This should be encouraging to you today. This should be really encouraging to you because in your weakness, God is strong. In your inability, and when you realize, in and of myself, I can't do this, you have to look to God. You have to look to Him as your source of strength, as your source of everything. You go, God, I can't change my situation. God can. And God does. It's amazing. The fourth thing. The fourth knot. Why Mary is not. Or why. Okay, that's not going to be coming out right. Why is Mary supernaturally favored? It is not because her life is easy. We tend to equate the favor of God with the good life. I've got the right car. I've got the right house. I've got, and I'm not complaining about any of this. I love that we have central heating and that our house, even though it's cold outside, our house is not cold. I love that. I love that I could get up and come out this morning and have a hot shower to the temperature that I wanted it to be. That was really great. I love that I can do that. Guys, that is not synonymous with the favor of God. That does not equal favor. Because you have a lot of money does not mean favor of God. Because you have a little bit of money, and maybe you'd say not enough, it doesn't mean you're not favored. When God shows up to Mary and he says, you're going to have a baby. Okay, now bring this home. God shows up to your daughter, young teenage daughter, and says, you're going to have a baby. Imagine, yeah, panic moment. Now, to get it more strange, we have to take this, you have to equate this out of our culture and into the Middle Eastern culture that Mary grew up in. Not at all strange for young ladies who are young teens to be engaged and betrothed to be married. So she is an engaged young lady. And God is saying, you are going to have a baby, and this guy you're engaged to is not going to be the father. Now, God or not God, this promise of God is going to look strange. This favor of God on Mary's life is going to look like trouble. It's going to look like Mary has been sleeping around. This is what God is saying. Hey, favored daughter of mine, I'm going to bless your life. Really? Guys, God is not promising you a life of ease. God is promising you a life of significance. And when we start looking at the favor of God, whether it's on Mary's life or on our lives today, it's God himself invading our lives, supernaturally bringing favor to us that brings significance to our lives. It does not mean the easy life. It does not mean you're not going to have tough choices, tough decisions. You're not going to have sacrifices. You're not going to have trouble. Mary had trouble. We find out later, after Jesus has been born, she goes to the temple and someone prophesies over her life and says, your son is going to grow up and basically change everything, and a sword is going to pierce your own heart. Yay! Would you like to get that? Like, awesome prophetic word, encouraging words for Mary. A sword is going to pierce your own heart. And we know that she later had to watch her own son be pierced. And I know how my mom is. If my mom hears that I got hurt somehow, she experiences physical pain, sympathy pains. I can't imagine what Mary would be going through watching her own son dying for the sins of the world. God promised her significance. He did not promise it would be easy. He promises you significance in him. He never promised it would be easy. Now, why did God choose to favor Mary? Why? You might be thinking, well, so what is it about this girl? Maybe I could do the same thing and I could receive favor from God. What is it about her? Well, it's really interesting. Let me flip back here. My Bible fell open and I lost the page. I want to point us to this. Verse 28, the angel came to her and said, greetings, O favored one. Now, what has Mary done so far in the story? I'll answer that. Nothing. Nothing. She hasn't done anything to merit this. She hasn't done anything to earn this favor. God shows up and surprises her. He sends an angel. Surprises her. Now, she did carry some promise in her life that she had had absolutely nothing to do with. Mary was from the family line of David. David had been a king in Israel. He was the second king in Israel. The first king, Saul, proved to be a wicked king. He didn't start out that way, but he kind of started doing things his own way. And the more he did that, the less he walked in the favor of God. And God had to come in and say, I'm taking the throne away from you, and I'm going to give it to this man, David. David himself was not a perfect man. In fact, anything from it, if you know somebody who slept with their good friend's wife, got her pregnant, and then had her husband killed, you wouldn't say, this is a really great guy. David had issues, serious issues. In fact, most of his children, I'm not sure how many children he had that were born from the same mother. Guy had issues. And yet, he would always come back to God in repentance when he had messed up, when he had sinned. And God said, this is a man after my own heart. This is a man who actually loves me. And he said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your family. And there is always going to be someone from your family line that sits on your throne. And then we know that the nation of Israel actually fell apart, went into captivity. They came back, but now they're subjugated people, and they're still waiting for this promise that there's going to be someone sitting on the throne of David. And this is what the angel promises. You're going to have a son. He's going to sit on the throne of David, and of his kingdom, there will not be an end. There will not be an end. So this promise to Mary has very little to do with anything she's done. Actually, nothing to do with what she's done. It has to do with someone else did for her. David. God loved David. God blessed David. And through David, he promised to send a Savior. Now guys, this is really, really similar to us. It points to the life we get to live in God. The life that's offered to you in God. You get to receive God's favor based on someone else's merit, not your own. He's the son of David, the son of Mary, Jesus. And it's through the merits of Jesus and who Jesus is, the perfect, spotless, righteous Son of God, who carried the sins of the world, he who knew no sin, who became sin so that you and I could become the righteousness of God through him. I was looking this up this week. I was trying to figure out some modern scenarios, and I found this really interesting tidbit in Hollywood and how many people in Hollywood are related to each other. And they find their inroads to fame based on who their parents are, based on who their siblings are, based on who someone else in their family is. Now, besides my wife, has anyone ever heard the name Christopher Ciccone?
No.
We'll say no. Okay, no one? No. Anyone ever heard the name Madonna?
Yeah. No.
All the kids know who Madonna is. That is really encouraging.
I don't know her name.
All the girls know who Madonna is. Fantastic. So great. So Madonna, one of the few singers, actresses, who is famous enough to go by one name. If you say Madonna, everybody knows you're talking about. And they're not talking about Mary. We're not talking about Mary, the Madonna. We're talking about this super famous cultural icon. Well, her brother's name happens to be Christopher Ciccone. And he wrote a book several years ago I think it's called, it's like My Life with Madonna, or Growing Up with Madonna, or I don't remember the exact title of the book. But he wrote a book about his sister. Now, he was her hairstylist. He would do choreography for her. He would appear in her videos dancing. So he wrote a book, and it's all about how cool his sister is. I haven't read the book, so maybe it's how not cool she is too, but it debuted on the New York Times bestseller list at number 2. And he profited greatly off of who his sister is. He made a lot of money on her name. Guys, this is exactly what we do. We profit from who Jesus is. We are favored because of who Jesus is. And it's not because we are so amazing and we have done, you know, great things for society. We've changed culture dramatically. But we're related to someone who has. We're related to someone who is amazing. His name is Jesus. So why are you favored? Why was Mary favored? It was because of someone else. You're favored because of Jesus. And there's nothing that can change that. Everywhere you go in life, you are favored because of him, because of his sacrifice, because of his perfection, because of his compassion, his mercy, his grace. Because of that, you are favored. So I can actually say to you, greetings, O favored ones. The Lord is with you. Cool. Now, how is she favored? How is Mary favored? I'm going to look at chapter 1, verse 35. The angel said to her, answered her, because she's just said, how is this going to be since I'm a virgin? The angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Because of this, the child who will be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit that Mary's going to have the honor of carrying the Savior of the world. Through his power, she gets to carry God himself. And it's through the same power of the Holy Spirit that we have the honor of carrying the presence and the promise of Jesus today. You're carriers of the presence of God, not through your own ability, your own works, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. God is going everywhere with you. Cool. Cool, cool, cool. Now, I'm going to hit 2 more things here. The results of God's supernatural favor. The first big result of God's supernatural favor is the ability to receive God's promise in faith. She says, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. She was able to respond in faith and say, let it be unto me. I'm the servant of God. Let it be unto me according to your word. When God comes and he says, you are favored, what happens? It births something inside of you. Before Jesus was conceived inside of her, faith was conceived inside of her. And she was able to say, let it be unto me according to your word. Now, she is a young teenage girl. How much is she really processing what she's going to face? The implications here? Don't sell young people short. They're brighter than you might think in terms of what is going through those brains. I believe she is thinking, I'm engaged. Culturally, people die for this. Let it be unto me according to your word. Ooh. The ability to receive God's supernatural word, and she willingly partners with God, mentally and emotionally, to come into agreement. What?
And physically.
And physically, yeah, and physically. Mentally, to say, I agree. Okay. And the emotions that go along with that, and to say, let it be unto me according to your word. This is a result of God's favor. And right along with this is the ability to believe that God will do what he speaks. That nothing is impossible. And this is what the angel says to her. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Our faith is in God and in his ability, not in our own awesomeness. It's not our awesomeness. It's not our ability. We put our faith in God's ability. God's ability to get the job done. When God says, I'm going to invade your life supernaturally, I'm going to move through you, I'm going to cause you to be a blessing to the nations, I'm going to cause you to be a blessing to Spokane, we put our faith in God and his ability. God, if you're saying this, then let it be unto me according to your word. Let it be unto me according to your will. Okay, I'll do it. I put my faith there. You said it. I believe it. Now, the second big thing, result of God's supernatural favor, is the ability to praise God in uncertain circumstance, and actually in any circumstance. I'm going to read this. Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And this is fairly supernatural and interesting. Remember, there's been 400 years of like zero prophetic involvement from God. And she goes to visit Mary. She goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. She's pregnant with John the Baptist. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." That means to jump for joy and to exult. My spirit is jumping for joy within me. I am so excited, for he's looked on the humble estate of his servant. Behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He's shown strength with his arm. He's scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He's brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months, which would have been about when Elizabeth gave birth, and returned to her home. Mary comes, and she's hanging out with her relative Elizabeth, who has also been supernaturally given the ability to have children. And she's got in this environment of faith. But as soon as she gets into this environment, she begins to praise. She begins to praise God. She's still going to be a young teen mom who isn't married yet. She's still going to have to deal with the fact that the guy she's supposed to marry isn't the dad. She's still going to have to deal with the fact that culturally this is very taboo. She still has to deal with the fact her people are still a subjugated people. And in the middle of all of this, what does she do? She worships God. She praises God. And it's not like this, "Well, I'm stirring up some worship in my heart. I'm doing my best to, let's get our eyes back to Jesus." Or, you know, let's get our eyes. She wouldn't have said that yet. No, she says, inside, I'm like jumping for joy. I'm exalted. I'm just so overwhelmed. And what overflows out of her is how amazing God is. God's favor on your life results in praising him no matter your circumstance. She is not a victim. She's a conduit of blessing. She's highly favored. She's carrying the promise of God for the world. And genuine praise, worship, and thanksgiving is the evidence of that. She is genuinely praising God. She's genuinely, genuinely thankful. She's excited about who God is. This is the result of God's supernatural favor on your life. The key is for us to say, God, we recognize we're favored. We agree that we're favored. We agree with you and your word that we are a blessed people. And from that place will flow praise from your heart. From that place will flow thanksgiving. From that place will flow the ability to receive and continue to receive in faith, even when it looks strange. So guys, to close this out, it's not where you come from. It's not your undaunted courage. It's not because you have all the right advantages in life that qualify you for God's supernatural favor. It's not because you come from the right side of the tracks. It's not because you've earned it as if God owes you anything. He doesn't. He doesn't owe you a thing. It's not because you're smart enough, you're good enough, you're pretty enough, you're manly enough, and gosh darn it, people like you. You know, it's not because of any of that. It's not because of anything you've done. It's Jesus that qualifies you for supernatural favor. Nothing else. It doesn't matter if we're talking about supernatural healing. What qualifies you to receive supernatural favor from God and healing? Is it any of those things we just talked about? No. It's Jesus. It doesn't matter if we're talking about hearing from God prophetically, and you're saying, God, as we sang today, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Open my eyes. Let me sense you. Let me hear you. I want to hear prophetically from you. As we're taking time in our worship time to just kind of be still and wait and let God talk. What qualifies you to be the one who hears from God? Jesus. Not you. Not how great you were this week. Not that you spent hours and hours and hours in your Bible this week. What qualifies you? Jesus qualifies you. So whether we're talking about healing, hearing from God, or salvation, it all comes through Jesus because of Jesus. That's what qualifies you. Mary was exceptional. There's no getting around it because she's the only one who ever conceived the Son of God and is forever the mother of Jesus. That's fairly exceptional. There's only one woman in all of history who gets to say, I'm Jesus's mom. But like Mary, we can receive God's supernatural favor into our lives simply by saying yes to God. It's very simple. We say, yes, be it unto me according to your word and according to your will. Okay. It's really simple. Simple. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for qualifying us in Jesus and through him pouring out supernatural favor over our lives. God, that we get to be with you forever. And just freshly, I want to thank you for that. God, we consecrate ourselves to you. Like Mary said, just willingly, be it unto me according to your will. God, we want our lives to center around you. We want our lives to glorify you. Even when you call us to things that society is going to think look strange, it doesn't make sense to the rest of the world. But when you call us, we want to say yes. And so here we are, like Mary, just saying, yes, God, be it unto us according to your will. Be it in my life according to your will. I want to serve you. I want to receive blessing from you. Be it in me according to your will. And I just say that myself freely, God. Be it in my life. Your will be done. Your kingdom come, God. Your will be done in my life. And from that place, God, we just say, let your healing flow in us and through us. Lord, we want to see Spokane be a place of supernatural favor that is tangible to the people around. Tangible that people would say, wow, this city is known for the favor of God. This city is known because God moves there. God, we recognize that's because your people are there and you move through your people. We want to see that. that we want to see people saved in this city. And we say, here we are. Let that happen through us according to your will. God, we surrender all over again to you. We just kind of freshen that surrender in our hearts and our lives. We freshen that call that you've put on us to seek and save the lost. A call on our lives to honor you. And just thank you for that. God, thank you that in you we are significant. And in you, we move mountains. We just praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.